Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Angela Boyer Stump, the prominent realtor on Eastern Long Island for Sotheby's.
Hi, Dan.
How are you?
Great.
My first question is what we were just discussing. I wanted to know why you use Stump, which is your husband's name, as a dash after your name.
Yeah, so, I was young and I thought, oh, this would be great. I'll be able to still have my following that knew me as Boyer because I was a model with Wilhelmina and Ford Models for a long time. And I went by Angela Boyer when I modeled. So I didn't want to lose kind of those connections. So I didn't want to be Angela Stump. I don't have a middle name. So my mother named me Angela Boyer. That's it. That's what you got. And I thought, oh, I'll hyphenate. This will make it really easy. And of course, in hindsight, when I go to check in for airlines, anything like that, nobody takes a hyphen. It was, if I could turn back time, which I guess I could, I guess anybody can go back and change their name, but I'm going to stick with it.
Where were you raised?
I was born in Baltimore, Maryland. I grew up in Maryland. And then at 18, I moved to New York City. I was in the Miss USA pageant. I was one of the youngest contestants ever at 17. And from there, I was scouted to different modeling agencies in New York. So right after high school, I moved to New York City.
Did you travel a lot?
I did. Shortly after moving to New York City, I moved to Europe and I lived in Europe for about 9 years.
Modeling, presumably.
Modeling, yeah. I moved first to Milan, Italy, spent some time in Paris, and then my career kind of wrapped up modeling-wise in Germany. I did quite a bit of kind of mail order catalog type of work. And at the time, everyone was doing mail order. Of course, now everything's digital. I don't want to date myself too much, but going back in time, everything was mail order and we would do a lot of trips. And I wrapped up my career in Germany.
Was it exciting, that whole experience?
It was. It was a great time. So that was between... No, I'm not going to really date myself. That was the mid 80s into the mid 90s. And it was a fun time to be in fashion, a different time to be in fashion than now. But it was a great experience and one that I'll cherish forever. Yeah, it was really awesome.
So when you wrapped up, what were you thinking you might do?
Exactly. So that's how I landed on real estate. I had a very good friend who was at Sotheby's at the time, Renee. Actually, she wasn't at Sotheby's. She was at Hampton Country, which is where I started. And she said, oh, I said, I wanted to start a family. She said, oh, well, why don't you come and try to do real estate in the Hamptons? And I had been here for so many years renting, and my husband and I were renting in Waynescott. And she said, oh, you should just come and do real estate here. And she made it sound so easy. I had no idea just how challenging it would become. At the time, it probably was a little easier because there were more rentals, people were not buying as investments as much as for a lifestyle. They wanted just to be here and enjoy the beauty of the Hamptons. Now, it's a much more complicated type of business with people wanting to make sure that they have a return on investment and they want to make sure they get all the tenants if they need the tenants so that if they buy, they can rent for 2 months. And it just got much more complicated over time. But I like it now. It's a little more interesting in some ways because we deal with a lot of different people. It's become a much more international market. So especially with Sotheby's, we see a lot of English people. I'm working today out of nowhere. I have a friend that's in Monaco that wants to come for 2 weeks. And, you know, it's got a consistent flow where nothing is ever the same. Every day is different. So it makes it really a lot of fun.
The office are you out of, or do you move around with wherever it is?
I work, my desk is in a Bridgehampton office. I live in Southampton, but my youngest surfs a lot. So I spend a lot of time going out to Montauk as well. And yeah, so I kind of cover between the Shinnecock side of Southampton to Montauk and then into Sag Harbor. Further west becomes a little more challenging for me. I just don't really know the streets and the areas as well. So I usually have somebody else that I work with when I have to go kind of west of the canal.
You ever, well, I've been running a column for the last few weeks called Backstory, which is basically stories told to me by realtors about things that went on that they could never forget.
Oh, I've had some doozies. Very early in my career, I had a group of tenants, and at the time, people were doing more group rentals. It was not an uncommon thing to have somebody say to you, we're six people, we want to rent a house. And landlords seemed much more open to it at the time. The laws have changed now, so it's a little harder to do that. But at the time, I had a group of guys, young finance guys, and they said, oh, we love this house. There's a little too much shade on the trees, with the trees on the pool, but you know, we're going to take it. So they took it. And about 3 months after they kind of moved in toward the end of their tenancy, the landlord called me and said, they cut my tree down. And it was a problem because they claimed that lightning struck the tree. And we knew from their earlier complaint that that was not the case. And how do you replace that? So you know, at the time, security deposits were not as big as they are now. Everything has kind of evolved over time with all of these rentals. So now you get a bigger deposit and all that.
But it was resolved in that case.
Yeah, well, it was resolved by them having to replace the tree, which they did. And it was just, they had the money to do it. They just didn't like the tree. But you can't ever really replace the tree. So there's some wild stories from back in the late 90s. Where you had some people that really were thinking that they could get away with a lot of this stuff. And a lot of people got away with a lot of things.
Tell me another one.
I had another guy who was an amazing tenant. I had rented to him for years. And he had a live-in housekeeper. But this one house that we were renting to him had a gorgeous new Rococo period table that the owner had purchased. And they were very concerned about this table. So the housekeeper thought she was being helpful, and she went to the supermarket and bought, you know, those the tablecloths that you used to use for like the outdoor picnics and things where they're like spongy on the bottom, but plastic on the top, like for little kids, tablecloths, and put it on the table. But my tenant would leave to go back to the city during the week for work. And when he would leave, he would turn the heat back up so he wouldn't have to pay the air conditioning bills. So he would go from having it maybe at 68 while he was staying there to popping it back up to 82, 83, which was consistent with the outdoors. Wouldn't have made a difference had they not put this tablecloth on this Rococo period table. And the tablecloth actually melted into the finish of the table. And because it was a one-of-a-kind piece, again, not so easy to just put a value on that. The tenant was very apologetic, and he did end up paying quite a bit of money for it. Insurance covered some of it, but these are stories that even if you have the best tenant, and this guy was an amazing tenant, he was trying to do everything right, but somehow something slipped through the cracks, and that spongy material, just sticky, sticky, sticky. You might as well have just put super glue on the table. It was just terrible. Yeah. So fun stories.
Some reason it reminds me of an interview I did many years ago, well before this. And I asked a man who was, he was on Wall Street business. He was a young man though. I said, how did you meet your wife? And he said, well, it was an Amagansett. We had a group rental. And At 3 in the morning, I was climbing through a window because the door was locked and I didn't have a key.
And there she was, waiting for him. I love it. That's better than any of my stories. That's fabulous. I love it.
Embedded in my mind for so long. Tell me about the most expensive sale you've ever done.
Oceanfront House in Watermill was a very young couple. They were actually looking to be in Southampton. And somehow we just cruised over to Watermill, right near Flying Point Beach. The beautiful, you had the cut on the one side, you had the little tennis club there, and then you had the open beach. And they just fell in love with this location. Not that Southampton wasn't fabulous, but that little tennis club on the water, you had the bay on one side, the ocean on the other, you had the cut for the kids to be able to kind of go flow in and out, and they could do their crabbing. I don't know how familiar you are, but that Mecox Bay area is really sweet when the cut is closed. The kids come with their little fishing nets and they set up little bonfires there. And then the public beach is further down. So if you really need to go with and have a lifeguard and all of that, you have that as well. And then you have the tennis club right in the middle. So it's kind of a sweet spot. And there are very few oceanfront homes right in that section. But we were fortunate enough while they were looking to find one, and they're still there. They love it. It's been a very nice setting for them to stay in.
Do they rent or buy?
They bought. Yeah, they bought it. Yeah. But they're not renting now. They are using it happily.
Let's talk about the market for a few minutes. How's it this year compared to last year? And if you look back on your career, as you have, tell me about the changes you've seen lately.
I've been very fortunate. So I'm not a really good gauge on where the market was. I heard last year quite a few agents had not very successful years. I had a great year last year. And this year is proving to be equally as good as last. But I find the market is a complicated market for buyers because the news is making it sound like the housing market isn't doing great, but we're the Hamptons and the Hamptons are always thriving, right? There's always movement here and prices do seem to consistently go up. Some buyers can stomach that and others can't. But one of my most recent deals was in Georgia and the house came on the market. My buyer had an accepted offer. We were very excited for her to be moving forward. Got through the home inspection only to find out that night that we had been bumped for $500,000. So she had to decide, did she want to go up or drop out? And welcome to the Hamptons. She went up and she's now just closed on the house and is now living in that house. But she thought, and she was at full price. It wasn't that she didn't do the right thing. She did everything right. She came in at full price. She did the home inspection. But there are a lot of people that want to be in these gorgeous locations. And it's a competitive situation when you have a quality product. Luckily, luckily for me as well, we were able to facilitate the transaction for her, but it's complicated. There's usually more than one buyer for every property out here. Sometimes they don't surface right away. You can have homes sit on the market for 12 months with nobody. And then all of a sudden you'll find a buyer and then everybody's fluttering around it and you end up in a bidding situation out of nowhere. You don't expect it. You don't know it's going to happen. It's just timing. Quite frequently, it's just luck.
If you had to do it all again, would you do it the same way?
I think so. I'm very content with my life. I was blessed to be able to come out to the Hamptons at a very young age when I first moved to New York. So as soon as I got back to New York City after living in Europe, I knew I wanted to come right back out here. So I first went to Waynescott because I knew Georgia Beach and I knew all that. And I thought that's where I wanted to be. Met my husband, my current husband, and he was living in DC at the time. So that was just a little bit too far for him to fly in to go to Georgia. So we ended up buying in Southampton, which was a little closer to the airports. always had a strong affection for the water. I live on the water now. My kids all sail. I have three kids. They're all part of the Southampton Yacht Club. I sit on the board at the yacht club, and I just watch them thrive. I think sailing and being on the water and boating is just the best gift you could ever give anyone, just that experience of freedom. And I think maybe I would invest a little earlier in the Hamptons so that I would have purchased more property early on, because I could have never foreseen what a big increase we would see in pricing. But I think I would. I don't think I would change much, for sure. It's been a good life.
You're sitting in front of a ship's wheel.
I am. I'd love to say that was one of mine, but this is actually from a Ralph Lauren store. But I did fall in love with it. And so it does hang behind me now to remind me that I need to work harder, to play harder.
Tell me about your family and what you all do when you're out here. I mean, you are out here, but...
Yeah. Well, I'm out here. My three kids now, only one of the three is able to come out, but he comes out every weekend from the city, still visits. He's 25. My daughter lives in London. She's an investment banker. And my youngest son is interning this summer, also in investment banking, but in Charlotte, North Carolina. But... The kids grew up here. We belonged to the Peconic Bay Beach Club when they were little. They would go out and swim out to the docks and catch the little puffer fish and throw them back. And it was just the beauty and the lifestyle. I don't think people fully understand everything. I think they see the Hamptons and the parties, and they don't really understand the bonfires on the ocean and all of the surroundings. I'm not a big fisherman, but my youngest son likes to fish and surf. There's that aspect of it as well. It's just that every aspect is wonderful. The cultural side of the Hamptons is also just over the years gotten increasingly better and better, from the film festivals to Bay Street Theater, everything. I was just at the Southampton Theater in the IMAX, and it was incredible what they've done there. I watched that new Brad Pitt movie where he's the race car driver and you're in this big, fabulous theater in Southampton. I love it. Things have evolved, so it's great. And we have great restaurants. Just lifestyle is good here.
It certainly is. What else would you like to talk about for 5 minutes?
I'd like to talk about you, your life. You've had an amazing life. I mean, it's just so impressive. And I mean, you've really been a part, you're kind of like an icon here. I mean, you really are. Everybody knows Dan and Dan's Papers. And it's just, it's very impressive. Very impressive.
I'll tell you, I can put a preview to when you first came, because I have that period. And what we were very concerned with at that time were tourists. Not the wealthy.
Right.
And so if there was something like a movie like Jaws about the Hamptons initially in the book, when it was written earlier, we were very afraid people wouldn't come out here.
Yeah, well, and look, this week, I mean, we're last week, we had the shark that came up in Southampton. You do see the sharks coming up in Montauk. My youngest son, who, as I said, serves, I said, aren't you nervous? He goes, Mom, they live in the ocean. I mean, what do you want me to do? That's their space. And I just thought, oh, that's bold, because I do like to jump in the ocean, but usually I don't jump in until about August 15th. That's about when the water temperature is right for me. But my kids love cold water, and they're in the water year round when they were out here. So but the sharks are interesting, because they take you out on the cruises to see them in Montauk. You can go out and do shark searching or whatever they call it. That's not for me. I do like the ocean. I don't like the sharks.
Well, yeah. Well, we didn't at that time either. It was all about fear that our resort area would be taken over by the suburbs, which were marching out.
Yeah.
At that point to, Port Washington and Port Jeff. And you said, here they come. You know, there's going to be half-acre lots and all these, all these suburbanites. Never.
We did have a lot of that, though. There were a lot of subdivisions that popped up, and a lot of them were half-acre lots. And now you can see through the Peconic Land Trust and places like this that are coming in and acquiring all these properties, they're really trying to pull back on that. But they did allow a lot of development to happen from when I started in 1997 to now. There's been a big change in what you're allowed to do with subdivisions, 2-acre lot zoning, 5-acre lot zoning. I'm kind of proud of the success that they've achieved in trying to get these subdivisions kind of blocked. Not that I don't want to sell real estate, but half acre zoning does feel very suburban sometimes. When you're doing a subdivision and you're clustering houses and you're doing all of this, I think it was smart for them to pull back on that a little bit.
Well, they pulled back on it a lot first with the rules about farmers being able to not have to pay the big taxes.
Yeah.
More recently, with all this money that's come in for preservation on real estate tax.
Well, they increased it. So when I started years ago, they didn't. When I first started, we didn't have it at all. Then it was 2%. Now it's 2.5% for the Peconic Land Trust. So it's a big number. Plus, if you're buying over $1 million, which every property basically is over $1 million. If you're buying a house with dirt, you're paying another 1%. So you're at 3.5% tax coming into the market, which sounds enormous from one perspective. But when you look at other locations and what they pay, it's nothing by comparison. And our property taxes are lower. So we benefit from that. So you might be paying a little more on the front end, but you're getting it on the back end because our taxes are lower.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think of this development that keeps being proposed for Say Harbor by Potter? I'm just curious.
I think it'll probably go through. And I think subjectively, if you're trying to do something good for the community and the community can benefit from certain aspects of what it would deliver, I'm not completely against it.
No, but yes, but it's also on a low area and it's expanding downtown, which maybe
if you've been downtown lately, it's bumper to bumper people. So I don't know if we end up just expanding that it's the same people that will just widen and you won't be walking on the streets like this, or if it will bring more traffic. This traffic is one thing we don't need more of. There is a significant amount of traffic right now. Just getting from Southampton to Bridgehampton to East Hampton can take in excess of an hour right now, which is kind of crazy.
I thought it was funny. I guess it was about 5 years ago. The Jitney proposed to run a ferry between Greenport and Sag Harbor. And everybody said, oh, that's going to bring all these people to Sag Harbor on foot. That's terrible. And then they said, wait a minute, they're going to go all over to Greenport. So where that we need them here.
You can't have it both ways, right? But Greenport is also beautiful, and the North Fork is incredible. I happen to prefer the South Fork, but the North Fork is stunning. And I don't know why they wouldn't do a little bit more. I mean, you can still kind of do that if you're doing Orient Point. You can still kind of do that if you drive onto the ferry. But look, I'm not about, I don't mind change. Change doesn't scare me. I just want to make sure that the people that are making the decisions to make those changes are thinking about the people that actually live here year round. So we need tourism. We need people to buy and sell real estate. We need people to rent homes here. We need restaurants to flourish. We need the arts to flourish. We need all of that. But let's just make sure that we're not overdoing all of this, because it's pretty crowded here right now. But it makes it a lot of fun.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Dan.